Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. Title of my sermon this morning is To Know and Understand God. What a powerful concept. And we read of this in Jeremiah chapter 9. But before we do, let us just start this morning in prayer. Father, we come together in your name today with a desire to know and understand you more. And we ask God through your Spirit that you will come and reveal more of yourself to us. Give us insight into the way you think and the way you do, that we may know you more. Like Moses prayed, Lord, teach me your ways that I may know you. Lord, we ask you this morning that you will teach us more of yourself, that we may know you more. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 9 speaks of this concept of knowing and understanding God. It says here, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. What a powerful concept. God says we should not glory, boast in our wealth, our fame, our riches, our strength, but that we should boast in our understanding and knowing God. We should glory in understanding and knowing God. And then God gives us insight into this glory of understanding and knowing Him. It's so powerful that there are three things in which God delights. And it's so interesting when one can go a long way to understand a person if you know what he loves. For example, my wife, she loves cities. She loves the comfort and of a clean, modern environment. She loves walking down the streets, doing sightseeing, visiting coffee shops, and eating food in a restaurant. Me, on the other hand, I love the nature. I love being out in the wild with as little as possible. Give me a sleeping bag and a poncho that I can sleep under the stars. I enjoy the extreme weather. The more difficult it is, the greater the adventure. How long can I stay dry under this poncho? I just love nature and everything that it brings with it. But now, if you understand who my wife is, and you want to bless her with a weekend away, it will not pay the same dividends if you take her to the mountains with a poncho and a sleeping bag as it would if you take her to the city in a nice, clean, modern hotel. And so too, God encourages us that we should know and understand Him, because with that comes great reward. And so God challenges us that we must try and find out what are the things that really pleases Him. He says, let man not boast, glory in his wealth, his riches, and his might, but let him boast, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. And then he says, these are the three things in which I delight. These are the three things that really pleases me. These are the things that I love. Steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. Now, it's very interesting. In Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 10, we read, for you were once of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. This verse has been coming up quite often, and it is so profound that God encourages us to go find out what are the things that pleases Him. We are encouraged to find out, to search for that what pleases God. In Colossians 1 verse 9 to 10 it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, continually asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, and that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What are the things that pleases the Lord? What are the things that God delights in? And it's so important for us to ask this question and to search for the answers so that we may live it to the full and therefore bring glory and pleasure to God in doing so. And I really want to encourage you in this time we are limited in our fellowship with others around us, that you will embark on this journey to discover what are the things that pleases God, and that we will pursue to do those things so that we may know and understand Him more. A good place to start is these three things that God mentions here in Jeremiah. It is this concept of steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. Now, God delights in love, and we know this very well. We've heard so many sermons around this concept that God loves it. He delights in it when we love each other, when we love our neighbor, even when we love our enemies. We know this because God is love. And love is not just an expression of His character. It is an expression of His essence. God is love. And therefore, when we love, we are drawn to Him. And the more we know that He loves, and that He loves when we love, the more we love. And in this process of doing what pleases Him, loving each other and loving our neighbor, we become more like Him. Even to the point where we love our enemies, just like He loved us when we were enemies. But God also loves justice. Therefore, when we love our enemies, it doesn't mean they will escape justice for the wrong that they did. But justice is not just about judgment. Justice is far more than that. Justice is about doing what is right and ensuring that right is done to all. See, it's very interesting. The most powerful way love and justice overlaps is when we care for the poor. The poor who are marginalized, disempowered, and unable to provide for themselves, when we love them and care for them, we are doing justice in God's sense, because we are helping those who cannot help themselves. It is not right for anyone that they should be without food, shelter, or clothing. It is not right. It is not justice in the earth to see anyone go without food, without shelter, and without clothing. And God desires us to do justice to all. Worse still, when the poor is exploited so that others may God, it is an injustice. And God loves it when we care for those who have lack in their time of need. But justice is more than just giving to the poor. Justice is when we stand up for the weak, the marginalized, and the poor, the widow and the orphan. When we defend their rights, when we fight their cause, when we speak on their behalf. This is doing justice, and God delights in it when we defend the weak, the widow, the marginalized, and the poor. When we stand up for them and we fight for their cause. In Psalm 82 from verse 3 we read, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." The NIV puts it powerfully. It says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed." You see, that is justice. That is in what God delights when we defend the weak and the marginalized. Proverbs 31 verse 8 to 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17, "Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow." You see, God loves justice. And when we stand up for the right of those who are marginalized and disempowered, God enjoys it. He's pleased with us when we stand up for the rights for those who cannot stand for themselves. Isaiah 58 verse 6 to 7, we read the following, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring in your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Is this not the fast that I required, says God? Is this not my intent and my purpose to see justice done to those who cannot fend for themselves? You see, God has a heart for the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed, the weak. I always say it's so clear to see within Scripture that God has an affirmative agenda. He wants the poor and the marginalized to be restored to their full right in society. He delights in us when we act on their behalf and when we give to their need. In John 3, verse 17 to 18, he says, "But if anyone has this world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." Not only does God expect us to care for the poor and to give to them, you know, it's so powerful. God says that He will repay us when we do. It's so powerful to read in Proverbs 19, verse 17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed." It's such a powerful concept. As a young Christian, and when I started off in the ministry, I was given the responsibility to take care of the poor.